Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the South Bay Show, South Bay Spotlight, on January 29th, 2015. Voted Best Local Radio Show in the Daily Breeze Reader Choice Poll 2014, and we are certainly looking for a repeat. Live, love, laugh, and leave a legacy. That's what we do here in the South Bay of Los Angeles, and it's a beautiful place to do just that. I'm your host, Joe Terry, and the South Bay Show is brought to you by the Academy of Foreign Languages. If you have any interest in learning a new language or brushing up on existing language skills, you should know about the Academy of Foreign Languages. Located in Palos Verdes, the Academy of Foreign Languages specializes in the art of communication. Their mission is to provide the finest language instruction possible. They recognize that each student has distinctive needs and craft their teaching technique to optimize an individual's particular learning skills. At the Academy of Foreign Languages, they strive to create a comfortable environment conducive to learning. So whether you're learning a new language or would simply like to converse in your native tongue, the Academy of Foreign Languages can accommodate you. For more information, visit their website at www.academyofforeignlanguages, that's all spelled out, academyofforeignlanguages.com, or call 310-975-4133. That's 310-975-4133. You can read all about our many adventures on Facebook at facebook.com/The South Bay Show. Persistence, passion, principle, and purpose. That's what we talk about here on The South Bay Show. And, of course, I'm not alone because of our great partnership with SouthBayByJackie.com and producer of The South Bay Show, Jackie Balestra. Hey, Jackie, how are you doing today?
I could be a little better.
Oh, yeah.
I went out last night. I met some friends. It was a last minute thing. And
How many glasses of wine did you have?
It was just a couple. I had a full dinner and everything, but it just didn't sit well with me. But I mean, everything was great. I had a great time. The food was great. Everything was great. But I woke up a little soggy this morning.
Yes.
Soggy, groggy, whatever.
Yeah.
I'm excited. I'm excited about today's show.
I have to say that there's something, you know, we always talk about how great it is to live in the South Bay, and it certainly is, but there is something historic about this year. More than most years, something truly, I mean, we're talking about changes like the AES plan.
Major changes.
And
major changes.
In Hermosa, yeah. The choice between oil drilling
right. And
no oil drilling. I mean, these are monumental decisions.
Oh, and Manhattan Beach, downtown Manhattan Beach.
Oh.
They're growing pains. Oh, there's so much going on. It's like it all happened at the same time.
Right. And what we're going to talk about today is one of those things that has been coming for, I don't know, probably as long as I've been in the South Bay, 20, 30, 40 years. I mean, it's been a long time that it's been in process. It's going to be great. Who are our guests today?
Our guests this morning are Mickey Marafino and Christina Jesperson. Returning guest Mickey Marafino is a certified marketing executive in the shopping center industry. She grew up in Massachusetts and attended the American University in Washington, D.C., where she graduated with a Bachelor of Science in Business Administration. Mickey began her career in D.C., and in search of warmer weather, she moved to the Inland Empire before landing in Redondo Beach 20 years ago. Mickey was the West Coast Regional Marketing Director for Forest City at South Bay Galleria, where she oversaw the marketing of 6 regional shopping centers. Mickey recently joined CenterCal Properties as VP of Marketing for the Redondo Beach Waterfront Project. Now, Mickey is dedicated to the community she calls home, and she was a member of the Leadership Redondo Class of 2011. She's actively involved with the Redondo Beach Lobster Festival, and when I say actively, I mean actively. the Redondo Beach Visitors Bureau, the North Redondo Beach Business Association, Designing Women South Bay, Soroptimist International Manhattan Beach, and Church of the Beach City's Job Search Support Group. Mickey was named Distinguished Soroptimist in 2003, the Redondo Beach Chamber of Commerce Woman of the Year in 2012, and Los Angeles County Distinguished Woman in 2013. Yeah, now Christina Jesperson, new to this show, is the managing partner and financial consultant for the Retirement Protection Group. Christina is passionate about her community, and she and her husband started the grassroots community group Voices for Waterfront Vitality. In addition, Christine currently sits on the board of directors for Pediatric Therapy Network. She's the first VP of philanthropy for Las Candelistas and has been a member of the Redondo Beach Chamber of Commerce since 2000. She earned a Master's of Art in Sociology from the University of North Colorado, and in her spare time enjoys golf, reading, and cooking. Now, this morning, we're going to be discussing the Redondo Beach Waterfront Project. This is a community hot-button issue, and our hope is to ask the right questions to get some clarification for ourselves and our listeners. Mickey, Christina, welcome to the program. We are so glad you could join us this morning.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
It's a wonderful, wonderful opportunity. You know, often we talk about when guests say, oh, an hour, that's a long time. Well, today it's going to go by in a heartbeat. Let's start with you, Mickey. We've seen a lot of information circulating about the Waterfront Project lately, but we want a definition of what we're talking about. So, Mickey, what exactly is the Waterfront Revitalization Project about?
Okay. So the Waterfront Revitalization Project spans from Torrance Boulevard, where the pier is, all the way to Portofino Way, which is over by Seaside Lagoon. So it's actually about 1 mile of waterfront property. And Joe, you had mentioned that this upgrade you've been hearing about for 40 years or so, it's actually been probably more like 50 years.
Wow.
So Redondo Beach has been looking forward to upgrading the pier area for many, many years. And through a variety of different events, CenterCal was awarded the project in 2013. And now CenterCal is in the environmental impact report phase of the project. But basically, what we're proposing on the project is in alignment with Measure G that was passed in 2010. And it's a combination of different uses. So we have a mixed use of street retail and restaurants. We have a public market, a small boutique hotel with about 120 rooms, and a specialty theater. One of the things that we're especially proud of is that we have about 12 acres of open space, and we've really increase the connectivity between the two parcels, the north and the south, the north being the area where Seaside Lagoon and Ruby's is, and the south being where the pier is.
All right. So
okay,
that's
Joe,
a lot.
Joe,
what?
Yeah, let me just say one thing before we get into this. Now, Mickey, she's a known commodity, all right?
Mm-hmm.
Everybody knows her, and they know her commitment to this community, all right? We, you know, she's down there at that lobster festival every year, you know, Lloyd Lobster. Mm-hmm. We know her. We can trust her. The fact that CenterCal brought her on for marketing, I think, was pure genius.
Mm-hmm.
I just wanted to say that. I just thought that was pure genius that they brought in a known commodity, that they didn't bring somebody from the outside that knows nothing about this community.
Wow.
Well, thank you, Jackie. And I also would like to add, I mean, I'm so proud to be able to be involved with this project because even before I started working with CenterCal, I was really excited about the prospect for the waterfront. But CenterCal is based in El Segundo, and probably about 80% of our employees are from the South Bay. So CenterCal realizes how important it is to have a local perspective and has gone really out of their way to get the community input for the project and really learned a lot about the history of Redondo Beach so that we can build that into the project.
Yes, unlike whoever went and did the original, when they scraped the original downtown Redondo Beach, the harbor area, and put up all of those condos. They obviously didn't take the community into consideration at all when they did that.
Right.
Right? So this is a 180, all right? And we're all getting our say in it. So anyway, I'm sorry I needed to say that. So go ahead, Joe.
No, those are very good points. I think we needed someone that had that that South Bay presence, people, someone that people knew, and now we're going forward with what is a huge project. As Mickey says, it may have been in play for 50 years. You know, Christina, I want to ask you: are there features of the plan that you think are more important than others?
The fact that I'm going to lose the flat parking lot that I look out on right now. We live right across from the project, and we have just done a major remodel and have a beautiful view of the ocean and the harbor area and everything. Mm. But I look at this massive parking lot right across from me by Captain Kidd's and look and say this is one of the most valuable pieces of property that we probably have here on the beach, but yet you look at cars sitting in this on the weekend. There's no human activity going on at all other than people getting in and out of their car. And so for us, we're very excited that we'll be able to go down and stroll around with our dog and eat at different places, go to a movie, go out to eat, get to grow old here and not ever even have to get in your car and drive. I think that it's a very exciting opportunity, and I can't understand why people are so opposed to this. It's all falling apart. You look at it, you walk around, the parking lot's falling apart. The types of businesses that are there are not producing income to the city, because they're who wants to go down there when the building's falling apart and you might have some brick and mortar fall on your head.
Right.
Literally, it's literally falling apart. I ride my bike through that parking structure every weekend, and it's a terrible eyesore, and it is falling, but it's blight. It's urban blight. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So there's so many aspects to it. We have to break it down piece by piece by piece. So, Mickey, let's go through it step by step. Let's try to make this something like that people can recite to themselves. What do you think are the top three aspects of the plan that will make the biggest impact?
We've had a tremendous response to the public market.
Mm-hmm.
So the public market will be similar to the Ferry Building in San Francisco, Faneuil Hall in Boston, Seattle's Pike Place, some of those you may be familiar with.
Hmm.
And it'll be an area where you can go in, you can get your fresh vegetables, you can get fresh meats, seafood. This is where we will have, you know, some of the concern has been that we would come in and all of the local tenants would be gone. And that's not what we want to do at all. Again, we want to make sure this is a reflection of Redondo Beach. So this is the area where you'd find your quality seafood. You'd find your Captain Kids, you'd find Naja's, and you'd find local purveyors of cheese and sausages and things like that in small shops. Mm-hmm. So that has had a very favorable response. The open space that we're going to have, it's really important for us that everyone has access to the waterfront and that you don't have to pay money to go to the beach. You don't have to. The restaurants aren't too expensive for everybody, so we'll have a little bit of everything for everybody. But one thing that the city is working on with us is opening Seaside Lagoon to the ocean, which will be a great enhancement to the environment, because right now there are chemicals in Seaside Lagoon,
mm-hmm.
and it's caused some of the wildlife and the fauna right outside that area to die off.
Mm-hmm.
So when it's opened to the ocean, not only will it be open, we'll have it open 365 days a year, but also it'll be free to the public.
Mm-hmm.
So that's very important to us. And we'll have different activities that you can do in Seaside Lagoon. For example, there may be stand-up paddling. There may be a place where kayaks can take off. We may have a tide pool in there so children can see how some of the wildlife in the ocean lives. We just want to make it very accessible to everybody. And then throughout the whole area, We're going to have little parkettes. We'll have a water feature that lights up, and it mimics the ocean waves. And, you know, we've had some people say, why would you have a water feature on the ocean? And we just believe that the ocean is magnificent until it's dark and you can't see anything. Mm-hmm. And we want to make sure that this is a vibrant community, you know, into the early evening, too. So we want to ensure that through having special lighting and areas where people can relax and enjoy themselves and stroll. One of my favorite features is that we're going to have about a 20 to 40 foot boardwalk that goes right along the coast.
Right.
So that way you can bicycle along the coast, you can have your stroller. We're actually going to raise the parking lot area where Samba's and Ruby's is up 4 feet. Because if you're familiar with that area, you know there's a concrete brick wall there that's about 4 feet high.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're, you know, have a child with a stroller, then the child can't even see the ocean. But when we raise the entire site 4 feet, then we'll have a fence along there so that everyone can see the ocean.
Now, that's interesting. What's going to go underneath? It's going to be raised, so what's going underneath?
So that's really the beauty of it, is that we're going to be using the recycled parking structure from the south to fill that area in.
Mm-hmm. So we're just raising the level.
Right.
Okay, so real quickly for our listeners, if anybody wants to see what we're talking about, you can go to www.thewaterfrontredondo.com.
That's correct.
Yes.
Yeah,
yep.
That's the, so you can look at it while we're talking and see what we're talking about.
Absolutely. And that's very interesting. The public market, I think, is really interesting. The boardwalk is key. I don't think people realize if they've never been to Atlantic City or if they've never been to any other area. There are several of them in Georgia and or Florida. Miami is famous for their boardwalk as well, or beachside. We think of the Strand. Can you talk about that? Because it's a great public space.
Right. So it's not only the boardwalk, and the boardwalk actually would go from about Seaside Lagoon, and then it would travel south. And then we are going to add a bridge between, if you look at the website, you can see the plan that we're proposing right now, between where the public market is and Kincaid's.
Hmm.
Because if you have ever walked the site, you know to get to the other side, you have to walk all the way around International Boardwalk to get to the other side.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the things that we want to do is really increase the connectivity so that it becomes a really enjoyable experience for everybody. So you can take that boardwalk all the way around, and then you can cross this bridge onto the area where the pier is. And the other area where we're increasing the connectivity is back in the day, Pacific Avenue actually used to go through where International Boardwalk is.
Mm-hmm.
And so what we're going to do is open that street up again so that we can have cars going through there. And also the bike lane will go through there, Jackie. So you will not have to ride through the parking structure anymore.
Oh, I cannot wait. I cannot wait for that. Oh.
Now, that bridge will be over a waterway?
Right. It'll be over what is called Basin 3, and that's the area. There's some fishing boats in there, and so it'll be high enough so that the boats will either be able to go under it or it will open so the boats can go through it.
It will open, of course, because there was that, what was that, clipper ship that visited?
Oh, tall mast ship? What do they call them?
Yeah,
tall ship.
Yeah. I don't think there's any, you couldn't raise it high enough for that.
Yeah. Well, and actually what we're looking at doing too as part of the project is having more educational amenities, and we're looking at possibly having a tall ship based at the project. And that potentially could be maybe based near the sport fishing pier, or something like that. And so that would be there year round so that people could learn about the tall ships.
We are so thrilled. We're talking about Redondo Beach Marina Development this morning. We've got two great guests, Mickey Marafino and Christina Jesperson. We're going to talk more about that. We're going to take a station break. And we'd love for your comments or questions. If you have questions or comments, please give us a call at 714-242-5288. That's 714-242-5288. We'd love to have you join us. And Jackie, we also want to thank a sponsor. Who do we want to thank today?
Yes, we do. Yes, we do. It's never too early to begin planning your financial future. When it comes to protecting your assets and hard-earned dollars, you'll want experienced professionals with a proven track record and flawless reputation on your team. Briganti, Cameron, Waters & Strong, certified public accountants and consultants, is the largest full-service accounting firm in the South Bay, and they are dedicated to providing professional services of the highest quality. The partners are South Bay residents deeply committed to serving the communities where they live, work, and play. They support a variety of local nonprofit organizations such as Skate Park PV, Palos Verdes Peninsula Land Conservancy, the Torrance South Bay YMCA, Rotary, and Pediatric Therapy Network, among others. BCWS prides itself on providing national accounting technical experience with the personal attention of a local company. This commitment to uphold high standards of excellence has proven key to their success and first-rate reputation. Their ultimate goal and reward is to see their clients achieve financial success as they define it, whether that means helping them to reduce their tax burden, assisting them with planning to ensure their financial security, succession planning, exit strategies, and wealth transfer. The partners and professionals of BCWS are committed to providing their clients with the expertise and guidance they need to reach their financial goals. For more information, visit the website at www.bcws.com or call 310-542-0011. And Joe, you know, it's that time of year. You got to start, you know, getting your stuff ready for taxes.
Yeah, I need a couple more documents and I'm going to do them.
There you go. There you go.
So, you know, we've done a great job so far, I think, about sort of painting in the lines, the general outline.
Oh, speaking of the outline, I'm looking at the plan here. Now, let's just be clear. What we're talking about, this project, it's not the pier proper, correct, Mickey?
It's part of the pier. It's not Mondstadt Pier. Mondstadt Pier is the part that kind of goes straight out.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the Horseshoe Pier, and then it's the International Boardwalk, and then the side over where Captain Kids and Movies is.
Mm-hmm. Right, and so you're not gonna change the actual harbor where the boats are. That's all separate. So all of that, you know, the boats are still going to be where the boats are now, and they'll come out through the mouth of the harbor, because that's the actual harbor. This is not the harbor. This isn't going to affect the yacht clubs, you know, the slips, anything like that. This is between the harbor and the pier, right?
Right. And it's all the land side. I mean, we're not changing the water side at all, except for working with the city to open up Seaside Lagoon and make that a year-round amenity.
Right.
Okay.
So, I mean, that's the point that some people are making that we should ask. The question is, why is this so important now, and what is it going to do for us now that we didn't have, like, last year or the year before, and who's paying for it? That's for you, Mickey.
Okay, so I think the reason it's so important now is because, as Jackie mentioned, some of the infrastructure is failing.
Mm.
And the parking structures in particular. And they really have, 3 years ago, we were told they had about a five-year life. So, I mean, certainly nobody wants an accident to happen in the parking structure. And the city of Redondo Beach doesn't really have the money to pay to upgrade the parking structure, which we're estimating at, just for the parking structure, to be about $50 million.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't include relocating all the tenants that are kind of built into the parking structure, like Captain Kids and them. So it's really important that something be done now, because if that parking structure has to be closed, that would be detrimental to all of the businesses. You know, there are so many benefits that will come with the project. We estimate about 2,500 jobs will come with the project. And those are jobs that are, you know, actually within the waterfront area, but also ancillary jobs that will support the waterfront when all these businesses open. And then we're estimating that roughly about $3.25 million per year in revenue with property taxes and sales taxes will be coming to the city, which again will really help us with all of our public services and, you know, fire and police and, you know, the services that we need to really enjoy our lifestyle in Redondo Beach.
So who's paying for the development?
So it's CenterCal. So CenterCal is going to initially pay to actually fix the infrastructure, the parking structure, and then we are estimating roughly around $300 million for the entire project.
Okay.
That's what developers do, Joe.
Right.
And they put up the money to do this stuff, yeah.
CenterCal's going to be doing that, putting up the $300 million. We're going to get the Redondo residents, the general public, the city of Redondo Beach will get about $3.25 million a year ongoing in revenue. So, you know, that's the point is that I think some people are just asking how that happened, and it seems to have happened so quickly, and it's wonderful that it's going to happen quickly. You mentioned that the waterfront promises to improve coastal access, and we're looking for that in the environment and all that. And we did a good job of talking about that. What's the timeline, project?
Okay, so right now I mentioned we're in the EIR process, which is the Environmental Impact Report. And that basically goes through all of the ways that this project could impact the environment, just to make sure that we're not doing anything to hurt the environment. And we've been very careful to make sure that we're building within the guidelines of Measure G and what the Coastal Commission requires. Another thing that we've included with the Environmental Impact Report is potential for what could happen at the AES site. I know there's a lot of people that are concerned that, you know, that we're overbuilding in our waterfront area, and that's very important to us, too, that we want to make sure that, again, everybody has access, that there's not traffic jams, anything like that. So we're including the potential project at AES in the Environmental Impact Report so that we can look at mitigating any kind of traffic concerns or anything like that.
Right.
So we expect to have the draft EIR out sometime this summer, and then hopefully it'll be certified in the winter of 2016 or summertime. And the earliest we could start construction would probably be late 2016, early 2017. And then we hope to have the first phase of the project open in 2018. With it completed by 2019.
Okay. All right.
All right. I had a quick question.
Sure.
Only because I've been seeing what's going on at Del Amo Fashion Center. They tore down most of that center, and they relocated all of their store owners while the construction is going on. So everybody's still there. They're just in different places. Mickey, how will that work with the people that are there now, the existing businesses? Will you move them someplace, or will they have to shut down for a while?
It might be a combination of both. I think right now we're really in the planning stages with that, but that's why I mentioned that we would have one part open earlier and then the next part later, is that what we'd like to do ideally is to have maybe the public market open first, and then we could move some of the tenants into the public market, and
okay,
then we could do construction on the rest of the site.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Okay. So we have done a great job so far talking about the project itself, I think. I think, you know, many people who want to find out more details will follow the news. They'll go to thewaterfrontredondo.com and get more information there. But, Christina, I have to ask you to weigh in on the AES Measure B. We need to get an opinion on this plan versus any other plan that might be available. Christina?
Well, our group Voices for Waterfront Vitality mainly started out because we heard so much opposition about what was going on. with not wanting the waterfront developed. And there were all these voices that were out there telling people how bad it was, how it was going to only be for high-end individuals, it was going to destroy the views. There were all kinds of things going on with that. And so we decided that we needed to get a group together that had a positive note about what was really happening. So that's how we started our group. And we've grown to 150-plus members. And originally, we weren't bringing in the AES project because it really, when we started out last summer, it really wasn't on the plate. It wasn't something that was really happening at the time. So we were just more concerned that we wanted to make certain that the CenterCal project moved forward. Recently, because we do realize that what is happening with AES is going to impact the waterfront project at the same time, our group decided that we would also back Measure B. So this is something that we're now standing for. Also, we want everyone to vote yes on Measure B, just so that that the zoning will be completed, that this will not be an industrial site any longer, and hopefully we can see something move forward in that area also.
Can you just discuss that a little bit? Because, I mean, Measure B doesn't actually enact any construction. It just changes the zoning and finalizes the fact that AES is going to sell the property.
Correct. That's very important for people to realize. They have developed a plan that perhaps will be taking place there. They're not going to be the developers of the project. Mm-hmm. All they're wanting to say is if you vote yes on Measure B, this will change the zoning and this will no longer be an industrial site. So if this does not happen, they still have the opportunity to, if they're not going to build another power plant, they could have a desalination plant, they could have a battery storage facility there, they could still use it for industrial uses. If the zoning changes, then that's not possible. And that's all this vote is about. And it's very important because there's a lot of people out there and a lot of noise out there that's saying, oh, well, this is how it's going to be developed. Nobody really knows for sure yet because there isn't a developer on site yet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's certainly not well understood, that
right.
There isn't actually a developer like CenterCal in motion for the AES property.
Right. So our group is all about getting the proper information out there. We're very excited that to see the community kind of stand together for something instead of always all we ever hear about, all we ever read about in the newspaper is negativity, all the negative stuff about this. So we're very excited to see the community support. Our group is growing, and we're out there to try to disseminate correct information about the CenterCal project as well as about what's going on with Measure B.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I have to say something about that. Last week, I was driving. I was coming from Hawthorne Boulevard. I was going west on 190th Street. And you know how you get to the top of 190th Street before you head down to PCH?
Mm-hmm.
I was stopped at a light, and I was looking west, and the power lines, the power plant, and I thought, wow, this is going to be spectacular when all of this comes down.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's going to completely change. I think it's a no-brainer. I think Measure B is a no-brainer. I think we all have to vote for that.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to realize that it's running about 50-50 right now, 50% for, 50% against it, and that's because of the misinformation that's out there. And because people think it's all about how is it going to be developed. We only want it to be a parkland. You know, we don't want any development there, blah, blah, blah. And it has nothing to do with that, absolutely
nothing. It's strictly zoning.
Right.
Zoning. If it passes, that cannot be industrial zoning. That's what you're
right.
saying, right?
Right.
It's just changing the zoning.
Mm-hmm.
All right. We've made that clear. It can't be any clearer. There's no reason why anybody should be against this.
Right.
There you
That's
go.
That's what we think.
Yeah. Okay. This is great. We have so much to look forward to over the next few years. I mean, the next 5 years to 10 years are going to be spectacular in terms of development, in terms of a revitalization, in terms of jobs, in terms of money back into the city's coffers, and in terms of beautification. It's just going to be spectacular beautification of that area in Redondo. What do we say, Mickey, to those people that are still on the fence about this or still have questions? Are there going to be events where they can voice their opinion or get their questions answered between now and in the summer?
Oh, I'm sure we'll have definitely more public meetings. But also, if they do go to our website, thewaterfrontredondo.com, and they click on Contact Us, then they can also send an email, and I'll actually get that email, and I can respond to them and call them, and I can even meet with them. So I'm happy to meet with anybody who has questions about the project.
Okay. All right. That's worth the price of admission. Anyone wants a celebrity like Mickey to visit with them? Just go to the website and send her an email.
I think, you know, Mickey's all over town.
Mickey
is every place. You don't even have to call her. You're going to run into her someplace. She'll be happy to answer your question.
Right. This is great. So, Christina, is there anything about the project, the Waterfront Revitalization Program or project, that we haven't discussed that you think is important for people to know?
Well, I just think that it's time that we take a look at how the waterfront is declining, and how can we leave it this way? I mean, there just isn't any way we can continue to watch it deteriorate, decline in the quality of the businesses that are there. And I mean, people don't – your guests come to town and you kind of take them around there, and then you go, well, you know, it's going to change because you don't want to be embarrassed by actually how it looks right now. And it's going to be so exciting to actually have somewhere where you can take people you're proud of. It's, you want to spend some time there, you want to spend the afternoon or the evening there and stroll around. And I can't imagine, you know, some of our view where we live will be impacted. That doesn't bother me because I know what's in front of me, where I can go across and go to. And I think a lot of the people are concerned that their view is going to be impacted by the project. But that's just the way life is. You know, if you live on one of the avenues here in Redondo Beach, all of a sudden your view can go away because someone tears the house down in front of you and builds a mansion.
Mm-hmm.
That's just the fact of life. You know, that's how things go. So I just think that if we can just put our glasses on and imagine what this is really going to be, I the vision is just fabulous.
It is a great vision, and I laugh when people say you're putting in a boutique hotel, 120 rooms, when the Shade Hotel is going to have 54 rooms. That's truly a boutique hotel, but 120 rooms, that's a nice size. That's going to be a lot of the TOT,
yeah,
occupancy tax that the city loves.
Yeah,
that's going to be great revenue for the city.
Absolutely. Yes. Well, and it's not just for the city. It's for the services that the city will receive in return. You know, the fire will have a better fire department, a better police department.
I think it's funny. I think it's funny that we have to explain that when we talk about money for the city, we don't mean it's going into the politicians' pockets. What we do mean is that it's money for services that the city provides. And then so many people misunderstand, well, $3.25 million in going into the coffers of the city, oh, well, they're going to waste that money. Well, I'm sorry.
They won't be. Nobody will be able to complain about potholes anymore.
Yeah,
right.
It's not about how it's administered. This is money that the city needs and that Redondo, you know, desperately needs to ensure that they can continue to provide the services that they do and enhance the services that they already provide.
Well,
no, go ahead, Christina.
I was just going to say we're running so short on the money as a city that if we had an earthquake in that parking structure fell down, we could not replace it. And you talk about now blight. I mean, this would be phenomenal blight in the entire area. People wouldn't come down to the waterfront because what are you coming down for? So people have to realize that the city does not have the money to rebuild this waterfront on their own. It's impossible. And we can't put a park there because it doesn't generate any income to the city.
Now, I have a quick question about parking for you, Mickey. How many spaces does the parking structure currently have, and how many spaces will we have after the development is completed?
That's a great question, Joe. So right now, as I understand it, the parking structure, there's two structures, and they have about 1,300 spaces. And when we rebuild the structures, they will still have 1,300 spaces. And then on the north side, you know, where Ruby's is, where there's that really large surface parking lot, that's about 800 spaces. And what we're doing is we're building a parking structure all the way to the east that will border Harbor, and that will have about 1,000 parking spaces. So we're actually increasing parking by about 200 spaces overall, which I can see how some people would say, oh, that can't possibly be enough because you're adding, you know, all of these businesses. But if you have used any of these parking facilities in the past many, many years, you know that unless it's 4th of July or Lobster Festival or the 10K, that they're really only probably about a third full.
Right.
So we have designed the parking so that it will meet the needs of the businesses that we're adding to that area.
Right. I think that's a key point to understand, that we're actually gaining parking. I want to make sure, is there, and Ruby's is right there on that existing parking lot.
Right.
That will change, right? That Ruby's won't be there anymore.
Right. And so we'll need to relocate them during all the construction and everything. Basically, because all of the buildings are so old and because the ocean is so tough on structures, we'll have to take down every building except for Kincaid's.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then rebuild.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll definitely, it'll be a big puzzle for a while moving tenants around.
Wow.
But, you know, where you're talking about now, that parking lot where Captain Kidd, Ruby, Samba's, it's such a terrible waste of space the way it is now. I mean, it's just not a good use of space.
Mm.
You know, we've got this great waterfront access right there, and I just think it's a terrible waste of space.
Right.
Use of space.
And it's also really bad for the environment, Jackie, because what happens is there's not a lot of area for runoff to be cleansed before it goes into the ocean.
Mm-hmm.
And so right now, whenever there's rain, I mean, all of the debris and everything from that surface parking lot just goes straight into the ocean. So that'll be something that we can fix while we're working on the project.
Excellent. It's called the oil slick.
Exactly.
All the surfers and watermen and waterwomen know after a big rain, there's a huge oil slick in the harbor. A lot of it just from gasoline and oil from the parking lot.
Right, and so that's something that, you know, we have an amazing opportunity here with this project to do everything we can to help better the environment, and that's what we're planning to do.
Well, we're going to be back talking about the waterfront revitalization project, but right now we need to have some idea of, Jackie, what else is going on around town?
There's a lot going on this weekend. I'm going to try and get through this as quickly as possible. Manhattan Beach City Hall will host the opening reception, Why I Heart MB Art Exhibition tonight, Thursday, January 29th from 5:30 to 7:30 p.m. The event will feature the work of local artists demonstrating their passion for the place they call home. The winners are going to be announced during the event, and the artwork will be on display through February 20th. Gallery hours are 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Friday, closed Saturday, Sunday, and holidays. For additional information, visit the website at www.ci.manhattanbeach.ca. That's the Manhattan Beach website. Art Flying Aerial and the Palos Verdes Chamber of Commerce invites everyone to celebrate the grand opening and ribbon cutting for their second studio location tonight, beginning at 5 p.m. Guests will be able to tour the facility, enjoy refreshments, learn more about classes, and meet the instructors. The evening includes special performances of various aerial disciplines, including trapeze, cordelise, hammock, aerial dance, fitness, silks, and lyra. Here's the best part. There's going to be a free demo class from 6:45 to 8 p.m. Now, the demo class is for the first 20 new students only, and attendees must sign up through the website, all right? And it's for free. And I know a lot of people, when they did, they had an event a couple of weeks ago with shoplocal.us, and a lot of the people wanted to try it. So tonight, you can actually go and try it. So for additional information on that, visit the website at www.arcflyingaerial.com. The new location is located at 2244 Pacific Coast Highway in Lomita. The Foundation of Local Arts presents the FOLA annual fundraiser on Saturday, January 31st. The event will take place at the private residence of FOLA event honoree Bob Salim from 7 to 10 p.m. The event will showcase celebrated full of fine artists. There's a whole bunch of them. They're listed on my website. And the evening includes a fireside talk by the honoree, a door drawing, auction, complimentary appetizers, and valet parking. Tickets are $50 per person and may be purchased online at www.foundationoflocalarts.com or at Look Optometry, located at 451 Manhattan Beach Boulevard in Manhattan Beach. All that information, all the details are on my website. Rock and Brews El Segundo is celebrating its fourth anniversary by breaking open the cellar doors for the first ever Strong Ale and Cellar Reserve Fest. For the month of February only, the El Segundo Rock and Brews location will offer guests a selection of perfectly curated and aged craft brews, many of which have been aging up to four years. And there's a whole list of what they're going to feature. For additional information on that, my website or www.rockandbrews.com. /El Segundo, and Rock and Brews is located at 143 Main Street. Treat your four-legged friend to the monthly social canine group hike on Sunday, February 1st at 9 a.m. This month's hike takes place at the White Point Nature Preserve. It's a drop-in activity. No registration or fees are required. You just show up and join in. For additional information, visit the Facebook page at www.facebook.com/socialcanine/events. And no worries, you'll be home in time for the kickoff. Now in its 37th year, the Redondo Beach Super Bowl Sunday 10K, 5K, Run, Walk, and Baby Buggy 10K. It's a terrific way to celebrate the biggest day in American sports. Enjoy the picturesque sights of Redondo Beach as you make your way along the race route. The ocean breeze, salt air, and mild temperatures make for perfect winter running conditions. Participants and guests will also enjoy great food, beverages, and a variety of running accessories at the two-day health and fitness expo presented by Michelob Ultra, located at Seaside Lagoon. The expo takes place the day before the race, January 31st, and the date of the race, February 1st, and is free and open to the public. If that isn't enough reason to get out of bed, maybe the allure of prizes will persuade you. The costume contest adds a wildly entertaining feature to the festivities, and prizes are awarded in several categories. For all the information on that, visit the website at www.redondo10k.com. All right? Hosting a Super Bowl party at home is a lot of work, and going to a bar or restaurant doesn't guarantee you'll get a seat or decent view of the game. So what can you do? Make a reservation at the Rockefeller for your own Super Bowl party with 30 or more guests, and they're going to waive the space rental fee. They can, if you get 50 guests, it's a full buyout. Parties of 30 or more can reserve the entire indoor area or outdoor patio, and the offer is on a first-come, first-served basis at both locations. I don't know if it's sold out yet. So to make a reservation, email events@eatrockefeller.com. Yogurtland and the Hershey Company have teamed up to make the fourth annual National Frozen Yogurt Day celebration sweeter than ever on Monday, February 2nd. Yogurtland locations will offer free frozen yogurt toppings and a limited edition Hershey's collectible spoon from 4 to 7 p.m. They have new flavors, and there are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 different locations in the South Bay. So free yogurt for everybody. Go to www.yogurtland.com for all the information on that. Ortega 120 hosts Tequila University this Tuesday night, February 3rd from 7 to 9 p.m., named one of the top 30 things to do in L.A. by Wear Magazine. The event is hosted by award-winning mixologist and tequila aficionado Demi Stevens. It's a great class. It's $20 a person. require a $10 deposit when you make the reservation. For all the information on that, visit www.ortega120.com. Okay, if you haven't done it yet, it's time to buy your tickets for Dancing with the South Bay Stars 4. The event takes place at the Armstrong Theater on Saturday, February 7th at 8 p.m. The event pairs local celebrities, quote unquote, with professional dancers in a competition to raise funds for the foundation and the participants' nonprofit organization of choice. This season, 12 of the South Bay's brightest stars will slip into their dancing shoes, take the stage, and strut their stuff. Half of each team's points will be based on the judges' scores. The other half will be based on votes from friends, family, supporters, and audience members. Now, voting is taking place online now, and you'll be able to vote at the theater the night of the event. Each vote costs $1. Every charity represented will receive a donation, and the winning team will bring home the Mirror Ball Trophy. Tickets are $35, $45, and $65 and can be purchased online or by calling the ticket office directly at 310-781-7171. For all that information, www.torrenceArts.org. All right? And as I said, the performance will take place at the Armstrong Theater. I'm dancing this year.
Yes.
All right? I need your votes. I need your votes, all right? So you know, yeah, everybody get online now. Vote for me. Vote for me. and tomorrow morning on the South Bay Show, Manhattan Beach 360, our guest will be Marie McDonald, owner of Access South Bay, and Mike Murphy, director of hotel operations for the Manhattan Beach Marriott. And we're going to talk about their business connection luncheon coming up. So there's a lot going on. Go to my website. It's all on my website.
There you
go. Everything you need to know is on my website. So go to my website.
SouthBayByJackie.com.
Yep.
All right.
Yes. Now I have a question for Mickey.
Yes. Yeah.
One of the things I've always thought was just ridiculous is that there's not great access to the water in the marina. You know, whether it be for paddle boarders, surfers. And not only that, between Kincaid's and the pier, there's beachfront there, but you can't get to it. Is there going to be better access? Will there be a boat launch?
Actually, that's one thing that the city is working on right now. In conjunction with development on the waterfront, there's a requirement that a boat launch be added to the harbor area. And so right now the city is doing some research with some marine biologists to determine what the best location is for the boat launch. And it could potentially be near our project or it could be in a different area of the waterfront. I think right now it's very controversial because there's not really like the perfect place for a boat launch because our harbor is so small and it's actually considered a boutique harbor. So that is actually something the city is working on, and hopefully we'll know where that will be located by the summertime. But what we're doing with our EIR is we're actually looking at several different locations, kind of like we're adding the AES project in the EIR, because we want to make sure that we really look at every single possible option. And that we include everything when we're looking at how we're going to be impacting the environment. So that hasn't been determined yet. But, you know, one of the really cool things with stand-up paddling is that with Seaside Lagoon being open, you know, 365 days during the year, we're hoping that we'll have an area where you can launch your stand-up paddle, which for me, especially because I'm a beginner, sounds very, very nice because it's hard for me to launch right, you know, in the ocean off of a hand dock.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and as you said, it'll be free and open. You won't have to pay to go into Seaside Lagoon to launch your paddleboard. And by the way, Mickey, just tell the powers that be that I want a boat ramp, a boat launch, a regular one. I want a free boat ramp.
Launch.
There will be a boat launch. There's no question about that. The only question is where is it?
Right.
Okay.
Right. That's fabulous for all of the amateur and professional boaters out there. A convenient, easy to access, free boat launch is awesome.
Well, you know, for years my husband and I had jet skis.
Right.
And we would have to go and use the hoist, and you have to pay for it, and the prices
right.
kept going up.
Right.
Yeah, so I think that's imperative that we have a free boat launch. That's important.
Yeah, every other water, you know, water play land around the Southern California has one. I mean, you know, all the lakes and so forth, they have boat launches. They're all free, of course.
Yeah.
Thank you for that. And so, Christina, for those people that want to get involved, and it's going to be years in development. I mean, as Mickey pointed out, you know, the EIR will be completed sometime this summer, and then there will be, you know, a few years before any ground is broken. So there's going to be a need for support. How can people find out about your organization, Christina?
Well, we actually have just recently kind of become a little bit more public. We've been in the process of really formulating ourselves and trying to create how are we going to go about doing this, because we're brand new at it. My husband and I started this, and we've never been in politics before. So it's been quite a little process. We do have a public website. It's www.voices4rb.org.
Mm-hmm.
So it's voices4rb.org. We'll be posting information about the facts about what's going on so people can understand what it is. We'll probably, if we can post this interview, we'd probably post the interview so they can hear a lot about what Mickey has to say about the waterfront. And we will have some public meetings where people can find out more information about it in the future.
Okay. At voices4rb.org, you can get more facts on the waterfront, and that's great.
And Joe, I just want to add one thing. People are afraid of change, right? I mean, the vast majority of people are afraid of change. They don't want anything to change.
Mm.
The problem is, when things don't change, it becomes stagnant. You know, it's like a stagnant pond, much like the Seaside Lagoon at this point. Change can be good, you know, change can be good. And, you know, we're all residents of the South Bay, and we've all said, you know, Christina said she doesn't necessarily want to bring visitors down there. I hate riding my bike through that parking structure, you know. You know, it's close enough to me to get there by my bicycle. I want to be able to do that. I think it can be so much more than it is, and I'm looking forward to this. I just want to tell people, don't be afraid of change. It can be good.
Right. And also, everything, it isn't set in stone, so to speak. I mean, there's lots and lots of things that are still to be decided, and if people get involved, they can get their questions answered and perhaps influence CenterCal and the city to make adjustments that they believe are important. So there's still a lot of public involvement ahead. Yeah.
And I think that's one thing that really the word about that still needs to get out too, is that this is not, you know, there's still many ways that we could have an influence in how the project is yet to be developed. But we are very happy we actually have a developer that honestly wants to deal with this horrible Redondo Beach community that nobody is anxious to have change. And we want to keep them here, and we want to work with them as partners.
Right. Well, this is a testament to their foresight. CenterCal has one of the best best front women in the business, Mickey Marafina.
Thanks, Joe.
You're welcome. I was going to say front person, but I don't think that captures it. It's front woman.
Oh, okay. Perfectly fine.
Mickey, how can people get in touch with you and get their questions answered, or even have a meeting with you about what's going on?
I think probably the easiest way to do that would be to go to our website, thewaterfrontredondo.com,
mm-hmm.
and then click on Contact Us. And I actually receive those emails directly. And so I can contact the person via email or phone, and then I can answer a question either over the phone or email, or we can meet in person. I'm happy to do that. So I think that would be the easiest way, is to go to thewaterfrontredondo.com and click on Contact Us.
Wonderful, wonderful. Well, Mickey Marafino and Christina Jesperson, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right.
We're living in exciting times, Joe.
We are, and I don't think it's a Chinese curse this time. It's just exciting and fantastic, all of the things that have been brewing for decades. So that's our show, ladies and gentlemen. We'll see you tomorrow for Manhattan Beach 360. Bye-bye now.